This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Big Bang Update from the Yard. Brought to you by Valor Home. Get 50% off all roofing materials, no matter the size. Plus, a free upgrade to HDR architectural shingles and make no payments until 2024. Call 833-83-VALOR or online at valorhome.com.
On 105.7 The Fan.
105.7 The Fan. Hour number two, it's 7:02 here in the AM on the Big Bad Morning Show. Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris here with you. Rob Long's off today. Birds get it done last night. Red Sox are just in a downward spiral, Ed, as we talked about it. Losers of six straight, but the Orioles put 14 on them. Gave up eight, but put 14 on them.
Santander, Gunner.
You see, that's the first time that good old Tony Two Bags has had two homers in a game and the Orioles have won. I think they were they 0-8 or 0-7? Leading into that, Joe.
0-8.
0-8. So now they're 1-8 in games that Anthony Santander hits two home runs.
Really?
What a weird
stat. That's a weird stat, yeah.
Yeah. But they get it done last night. Spencer Watkins gets the win. A couple of home runs, as you mentioned, Santander, Gunnar Henderson getting it done, and even Austin Hayes getting in on the action late in the game. But and Cedric Mullins, he hit a bomb early. So, you know, last night's game, you were just kind of looking at, you know, the Orioles offense really getting things going, and you know, I was trying to take a look at the playoff race because you got the Yankees and the Jays, and you're hoping the Yankees will knock them off, and it just doesn't happen. Orioles sit 3.5 out now, and that's behind Seattle. They're actually further behind Toronto, so it doesn't look good for making the playoffs if anybody's holding their breath. And what sucks too, Ed, and not to go way back, is they win the first two against the Astros. And how close they were winning the other two. Like we're talking about extra inning game that went crazy. What happened on Sunday, the late inning heroics from Houston. Whew, man, it could have been a 4-game sweep, put you right back there in the middle of the playoff race. But now I guess you got to be watching Seattle, hoping that they're losing, and maybe you can sneak in.
I mean, this is what's so – I mean, it's exciting, but it's a little frustrating because you feel like they're just going to miss now. What are they, 3.5 out now?
Yeah, 3.5 behind Seattle.
Right. 3.5 behind Seattle, so they're a snap away from making the playoffs, and you're excited, and then if they don't, how crushed are people going to be? It's like, come on.
Yeah, and going back, like tonight it's going to be Kyle Bradish versus Michael Wacha, so we'll talk about that just a little bit in the next segment, just previewing tonight. But you know, you go back and you look at it, and with the Orioles' record and how things stand now, they're 80-73, one more win to avoid a losing season, which you'd expect them to get. Mm-hmm. But overall, like I think I said this a long time ago, no matter what happens at the end of the year, I think you have to be pleasantly surprised with everything that went on. And as an Oriole fan, just extremely happy that we are taking those steps forward to getting back to not hoping you get into the playoffs as a wild card, but competing for the division and actually, you know, going out each and every night and expecting to win instead of being this year. I think you should have been surprised at a lot of those W's early on, like, wow, they're playing pretty well. And then all of a sudden you're like, are they the hottest team in baseball?
Yeah.
And they were for a short period of time there.
They were the hottest team in baseball for a short period of time. People realized, no, they're actually good.
Yeah.
This is not a fluke.
So, and there's something to be said about that and probably some wholesale changes that happened in the offseason. But they're not going to finish in last. The Red Sox are going to do that. And as you look at it, you're not that far behind the Rays. But again, you don't get to play them anymore. They have tiebreakers over you. And then the Toronto Blue Jays are technically 6.5 ahead of them, so you're not catching them. So
I mean, that's, you're not going to catch them. I mean, and it's almost like Seattle's trying to give the Orioles this playoff spot.
Well, if Seattle falters, maybe that's. Let me look up the rest of their schedule. Not that it matters, because, like, let's be honest, there's some really bad teams in Major League Baseball, and a lot of them are out west. But as you start to look at, so, like, they've got a set with the Rangers right now, and you know, you start looking at what the Orioles have. So the one thing I'd say is maybe Toronto locks up a playoff spot, and they're getting their rotation ready, and you get some easier games at the end of the year. I feel like I'm going to be giving people false hope here right now, just talking about what the Orioles could do. But yeah, the Mariners are going to face the Rangers, the A's. They got a three game set with the Rangers. Now they go into the weekend, they face the A's, and then they finish up with the Tigers. Four games against the Tigers. They're going to face three of the worst teams in baseball over the next week.
How do we do against the Tigers again?
We got our asses kicked.
Right.
But the Astros don't want to see the Orioles. But yeah, Tigers. So for people that are holding out hope, but ultimately, what do you want to see them do, Ed, in the offseason? Because I've talked about free agency. There's a lot of good shortstops out there, going to be expensive. I think ultimately we see the Orioles make some sort of trade where they package two players and a prospect, and a prospect, and go get somebody that's a little bit more established, either at the front end of the rotation or an established bat.
Some big names are going to be free agents this year.
But the pitching side of it, outside of Carlos Rodon, there's a lot of guys that, because you have the...
They're fake free agents.
Yeah, Jacob DeGrom.
He's not leaving the Mets.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I mean, they're going to explore free agency, but I don't think he's leaving. And then the other one that you have is Clayton Kershaw. And not to say you wouldn't want him, but are you ready to compete and...
Right.
Is he the guy that's going to take you there? Because the one year that he had when they actually won the World Series was a shortened season. And even now, like he should be their number two starter in the playoffs. Technically, you might even say he should be their three or four, but because of who he is, he just better hope he doesn't run into the Cardinals, because for whatever reason, he sees the Cardinals in the postseason. They beat his ass.
He sees anybody in the postseason. They'll do very well.
Well, the Cardinals are the ones that really, like the lefties, like Matt Carpenter owned him. Lefty, and if he saw him in the postseason, he was going to hit two bombs off of him. I think the playoffs are going to be a lot of fun. Nationally, I still think the Mets are going to be a tough out if they're healthy. Braves are playing great baseball. We've got the Dodgers and what they're doing. And I'm not trying to dismiss Cardinals, Padres, anyone else that's going to be in there. But in the American League, Houston's the best team. But would it shock you if the Rays put it together or the Yankees? Even the Mariners. The Mariners aren't afraid to play Houston, and you know they've seen them multiple times. But their pitching staff that they traded all these pieces away to go get and kind of assure themselves, because they got two young guys. You got an established guy in Luis Castillo, and you went out and got Robbie Ray. So can those guys take you to the promised land? Because their offensive lineup's a little wanting outside of Julio Rodriguez. Eugenio Suarez just started hitting, so it should be fun. But for the O's, I think the playoff hopes. I mean, they've been kind of dashed, and they. Like hang around just a little bit, because you'll look at the number, but realistically you need the Mariners or the Rays to just fall off.
Yes.
In the last, what is it, nine games?
It's possible though. Yeah. You know how streaky baseball is. I mean, it's just, this is how it goes. You know, when you don't expect a team to, like, that's not going to happen. Yeah, it does happen all the time. Yeah. Happens all the time. You know, and it happens when, you know, things run the line like this. You don't expect it, but all of a sudden somebody, you know, they lose like four out of six or something, and so, you know, you're in a different spot.
Let's grab Rashawn in Baltimore. He wants to talk Orioles. What's up, Rashawn?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How you
morning.
Doing?
Morning.
Good.
Hey, man. I didn't expect us to sweep the Astros, but, man, we had them right where we needed them Saturday night, man. We blew that game, you know.
Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday. You know, I was like, man, I was so pissed, man, watching that game. And I heard somebody say, like, if we can go, I guess, 9-1, lose one more game, we probably had a good chance of making it. You know, I don't know how possible that is, but the Yankees are already in there, so they're going to be resting certain players. So, you know, I don't know how much they're going to have to play for, you know, even though they'd love to knock the Orioles out or keep them out of the playoffs and everything. But if we can go on one of these runs like we did back in June, this is the time we need it again right now. You know, one of them long winning streaks again.
Well,
which we haven't had.
I mean, I think in essence, they would have to win to have a realistic shot to get in. They would have to win the rest of their games and then hope the Rays split. You know, I don't see that happening. I don't see them going on a 9-game winning streak and then the Rays going 4-5 down the stretch or whatever they have left for the Orioles to get in, because they also have the tiebreaker over them from the head to head.
They do.
So you'd have to. It's just
yeah.
They were 1% a couple of weeks ago to make the playoffs, and then they had that horrible series against the Tigers. And then even before that, they lost another series to someone. I don't remember who it was, but anyway, it was the Jays. They played they had the series they lost to the Jays, which would have been a huge one for them. I think it's less than 1% that they have to make the playoffs. It's probably even less than, you know, like closer to zero, to be honest, but there's still a chance. Yes. You just need somebody, you need to get hot and hope that somebody completely falls apart.
Yeah.
I just don't see it.
What do you think? You don't see it?
No, they're not making it. Sorry. I didn't think they were making it a long time ago. I'm just happy with how everything's gone, but it leads us into this question. I will say at 7:30, we have Commissioners Baltimore coming up, but up next, I want to hear from you. 410-583-1057. Has the recent pitching performance proven to you that the offense should be the main area of focus for the Orioles in the offseason? We'll talk about what they should do. I want to hear from you. Anybody you want to see them go after? 410-583-1057.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Can anybody out there pick Ed up breakfast? Ed, do you want to tell everybody what's going on?
Yeah. As I do like once a week or maybe more sometimes, I like to buy breakfast for all the shows. We work mornings.
He does.
I'm
just unfortunate that I really never eat breakfast.
Yeah, but you didn't want some. Joe didn't want. I mean, Jess, she eats, but she brought food today. Gene and Greg were in, so I ordered for the three of us. It was good. It was fine. Everything was not grayed out. As soon as they went to pay, oops, something went wrong. Driver's extra busy now. Delivery isn't available anymore. Consider picking up your order instead. It's free. Yeah, I know it's free. I'm working. I'd be happy to drive over to THB, but I'm working. This is like all the time.
Almost every single time he orders, there's no drivers in the area.
It's like, geez, whiz.
Well, we're going to talk some Orioles here and what they should do in the offseason. And again, you know, the question we talked about with the way that the pitching's gone this year, do you feel like there should be more of a focus on bats? I'm still telling you, for me personally, Ed, I want to get your take on this. I think it's both. Like, you can't – what happened this year was magical. Like, you know, pun intended. And I think if you're upset at the end of the season, okay, I get it because you have expectations. But this is going to be one of the more memorable seasons I think I've ever had as an Oriole fan, just because, and maybe people felt like it during the why not year. This team, it's the lowest payroll in baseball. They have no business being where they're at right now, and I think it's really cool.
I think it's very cool, and they're very young.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got basically three number one prospects on the roster. You get all these talented young players, and it'll be here for a long time, hopefully.
I don't have any inside information on this. This is just my assumption of what I think happens. And I think you see not an overhaul, but you'll see players move that maybe you didn't expect to be moved, or package deals going down, whether it's to trade for a pitcher like a Pablo Lopez. I've heard Sandy Alcantara's name mentioned. I don't think there's any way the Marlins are moving him without you sending just a lion's share of players towards them. You know, I've heard other names that were tossed about in the offseason of that maybe you could make a run at. You know, Blake Snell's name was brought up with the Padres, and he caught fire in the second half, and they're in the postseason. But, you know, so there are teams you're going to be able to kick the tires on and try to make a move. I don't want to be the Twins or the Angels where we're just picking up scraps that are left over. Actually, the Twins picked up some of the scraps from the Angels and vice versa with starting pitching. If you're going to target somebody, you have the prospects now. You have major league ready players that are good. Some might become great. Like, what if I asked you about Ryan Mountcastle? Mm-hmm. What do you think of him?
I think the jury's still out in my mind on him. I don't know if he's a long-term solution for us.
Because I think he's really good. Yeah. Great bat. Glove. Okay. You know, but at the same extent, what if you could get a power-hitting first baseman? What if you get a player like Jose Abreu that's driven in 100 runs? So my point would be, like, if you could make a move, even if Mountcastle's involved in another trade or if it's, you know, people don't want to hear it, Cedric Mullins or Austin Hayes or whoever it may be. I know I've already had fights with people about Jorge Mateo coming back, and I just think that's – if that happens, I'm not upset. But, like, that's like the meat lovers in the trunk. You know, if things don't work out, you got that. But you want that lady to turn on the fryer so you can get some – Tommy went wingy. You know, like, did you get that, Joe? He didn't even get the reference. But point being is, like, if you can't get something else, I think it's fine to come back with Mateo. But people talk about Mateo like he's the second coming and you can't improve at shortstop. Clearly you can.
Yeah.
Trey Turner's out there. Carlos Correa's out there. There's another shortstop that I'm missing. Oh, Xander Bogaerts, I think, is a free agent. I mean, there are names out there that would fit better in this lineup. And you have to have a focus on starting pitching. You need to
Tim
get
Anderson's
somebody in the front
out there, too.
That might be another name. He was injured all this year, though. Yeah. So, not that that sways. I mean, you're going to look at everything. But I think the front office knows what they're doing. And I hope no matter what they do, I'm not saying you give them a pass. You critique it, depending on if it works out or not. But
what would you do for someone like, I mean, we talked about, you know, Kershaw and DeGrom. I mean, DeGrom, to me, is still the best pitcher in baseball. But what about, like, Taijuan Walker for this rotation? I mean, he's not at that level, clearly.
Well, so Taijuan Walker's a guy that gives up a lot of fly balls. They move the wall back here, which I think will help him. I think a guy like that. So if you think about the NL East where he's pitching, big ballpark with the Mets, big ballpark with the Marlins. Nats, I'd say middle of the pack. Atlanta can be it's a bigger ballpark, but the ball carries there. And in the Phillies, it's a hitter's park.
Yeah.
So a lot of pitcher's parks in that division. I'm not saying that's the sole reason you go, oh, my God.
A lot of hitter's parks in our division.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. So yeah. I think your level of expectation becomes over here. The numbers should go up unless he starts striking out more. But and he's not a bad K pitcher or anything like that. But those are guys I would be interested in. But I think if you're really going to take that next step, you have to find a front-of-the-line guy, a guy that you think can be your guy for many years to come. Yeah. Alcantara showed that this year. Pablo Lopez is the guy that I was interested in. Like, the Atlanta Braves now, look at him. They call up Spencer Strider. He has the highest strikeout rate in baseball. And then, you know, you have Max Fried and all these, Ian Anderson, all these other young pitchers that you had. Kyle Wright, they've got, and Charlie Morton's there. They got names for days. I mean, Atlanta's going to be competing for World Series for the next 7 years, 7 to 10 years with the roster they have set, barring like catastrophic injuries across the board. So I just think that's where you want to get to because you have Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman. You're going to feel good when Grayson Rodriguez comes up. I think you feel comfortable. I'm not telling you they're going to trade Cedric Mullins or something's definitely going to happen, but the year that Anthony Santander, I always want to say Anthony Santander, the year he's having is just incredible. So
yeah.
I just think that there are pieces here, and then maybe there is a situation where you go, okay, we could take a Mountcastle, maybe another player and a prospect, and go get a frontline starter or go get yourself a guy. Like St. Louis, when they wanted to, they made moves to go get Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado. You know, they made it happen. I was just bringing it up with what we were talking about the other day. The St. Louis Cardinals traded away Zach Gallen to the Diamondbacks. Mm-hmm. Would you look at what he's doing there? That's part of the Goldschmidt deal. And then they traded Sandy Alcantara all the way to the Marlins. They had those guys. They could be in their rotation right now, but they got, what was that, Marcell Ozuna, I believe, then. And then, of course, Marcell Ozuna, and then they got, of course, Paul Goldschmidt. But you got to be willing to make those moves. And now we're going to start falling in love with our prospects and some of the names. Maybe it is a spot where you take two of these young pitchers. You take I'm just spitballing here. I'm not saying this happens, but like a Bradish and someone else, and you go get somebody that's a little bit more established. Maybe their contract's coming up and the team doesn't want to pay them.
Yeah.
You just got to scour everything. That's just my opinion.
Some of the names are pretty old, though.
Yeah.
In the free agency here, because pitchers, they last a while. Like, you know, Verlander's 40 and, you know, Wainwright's 41.
But that's why they were talking about the Orioles adding this year. So we knew the Orioles were going to, or we at least thought they were going to trade Trey Mancini and Lopez. But But they were talking about them adding a frontline starter just to go out and get a guy that has another year remaining on his deal, more so not necessarily just for this year, even though they'd have been in it, but for next year. And, you know, and so on and so on. Because you want to bring somebody in and then pay him and hopefully keep him. But I also hope the Orioles, and I know Rob brought it up, I hope they go out and take a good look at Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman, talk about getting rid of some of those arbitration years, sign them to a long-term deal, a team-friendly deal, instead of getting them for, you know, your 5 years or whatever. Get them for eight. Pay them a little bit more money. I mean, you, I don't think there's any doubt that these two guys are legit, right?
Who?
Rutschman and
Gunnar, yeah.
So I think it makes sense to forego the years and get them longer. Do what the Rays did, what the Marlins did, what the Guardians did, what the Braves have been doing.
I mean, what else would you need to see from these two at this point?
Well, that's my point. We knew it with Machado, too.
What are we doing here? Yeah. And look what a disaster Machado deal was.
Yeah.
And you knew, you wait too long, and then you get nothing.
Let's go to Vic in Bel Air. He's got an interesting question. Vic, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Ed, what you just said right there, I remember you guys had Billy Ripken on the show, and he said the same thing about Machado. They just waited too long, and it messed everything up. But what do you guys think we'd be looking like if we kept Trey Mancini?
What would we look like?
Right now, at this point of the season.
I mean, Trey's hit some bombs in Houston. Look, he's a really good player, but I don't know how they would have looked. I mean, Adley was DHing quite a bit when he wasn't behind the plate.
I mean, Mountcastle's been at first.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you'd have been able to give Mountcastle some more days off.
Yeah.
Look, I think Trey's a better first baseman than him. And the question I saw there was, what would Trey come back? But I still think they'd be looking for even a bigger upgrade than that in the offseason. So my
guess
is no.
Can't we all be happy for him?
Yeah.
He's with the best team in the American League. And, like, he's in the playoffs. He may go to the World Series. Like, if you love Trey, be happy for him.
No question. Well, we're going to get to some NBA talk. Kyrie and KD speaking about their offseason and these guys have become villains. We'll talk about that. But up next, it's Commissioner's Baltimore. What are we getting into, Ed?
I'm just going to tell a story about when someone farted and I almost had a heart attack.
Someone farted and you almost had a heart attack?
Yes.
Sounds like a story for me. Well, we'll do that when we come back. We'll talk about farts and Ed almost getting a heart attack. That's coming up here on the Big Bad Morning Show. And don't forget, the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Ken McCusick, Jim Hunter, World of Stupid in the 9 o'clock hour. A lot coming up here on the program right here on 105.7 The Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
A fart that could have killed. That's what we're talking about here in the Commissioner's Baltimore, Ed.
You'll see. You'll see. It called. I was working in the what squad was in then? 17th, I think. 17th Detective Squad. So we get called to a hotel for DOA. I don't know if people know that, but the police respond to all dead bodies unless you're under a doctor's care. You have to go to make sure, you know. And, it, you know, in nursing homes and just to make sure there's things you look for. Yeah. And then, you know, you get a lot of training into what to look for. And
but apparently in this situation, there was something foul at play.
Yes, there was.
Okay.
But you go and check the eyeballs and see if there's any. Like, you get strangled, which was actually the case here. This tiny little hemorrhaging in your eyes. You'll see little pin dots of blood around your eyes, in your, the whites of your eyes. Mm-hmm. It's called petechial hemorrhaging. And that's an indication someone's been strangled, their air's been cut off, and stuff like that.
Does that happen in the bedroom, too?
Can. Yes. It does, actually. Yes.
Sorry.
It does. So I get there, and this guy appears to be dead. And so I'm just walking around the room. They're getting ready, waiting for crime scene to get there. And, you know, all of a sudden, I almost jumped through the ceiling. The DOA farts. I'm thinking, whoa, he's not dead. Apparently.
Well, don't they say after you die, you defecate your pants?
Or not always.
Not always?
Not always. I mean, it's, you know. I've seen so many dead bodies. Not all of them defecate.
Well, maybe it wasn't time.
Maybe it was you they're talking about. I mean, yeah, it wasn't their time. It's got to be your time. It's got to be your moment.
Yeah.
But apparently, they do release gas post-mortem. But this is the first time I had experienced that. I guess it happened, but I'm not there. This guy cuts a loud fart. I'm thinking he's dead. Now I'm thinking he's alive. It scares the crap out of me. And then the responding doctor starts to laugh. No. It's fine.
I don't think I could ever get comfortable with that. Is that the only time you've heard it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have done the same thing you did. I would have leapt out of my chair, whatever, probably had a, that's the big one, Greg. If a dead person farted in the room.
I know. It's like, and now you'll love this part too. I'll get to this, how he solved it in a second. He wants to check his body temperature to see how long he's been dead or make an estimate. He takes out a thermometer. This thing had to be a foot long. And it wasn't like your usual rectal thermometer, like, you know, those little tiny thin thing. This thing, I don't know what to describe it as. It was just a long, it looked like, you know, a glass straw you drink a Slurpee through. It was like one of those real thick straws. It was thick and a big bulbous end on it.
See, but there are a lot of people that think the difference between an oral and rectal thermometer is the length. It's actually the taste.
Right, correct.
The taste of the thermometer will tell you whether it's.
Yeah, that's how I knew.
Yeah. Oh, this one goes in the other end. Yeah.
So anyway, the story with that was the guy was a businessman on a business trip. Apparently he was gay. And I think he was closeted because they were quite surprised to hear the story. But he picked up a guy in the subway, actually, and meets him in 14th Street. They go back to his place. Unfortunately, it was like a Midnight Cowboy scenario, though. He was the guy he thought was a male prostitute, wasn't really gay. Ends up strangling him. They get in a fight and tries to rob him, and he ends up killing the guy. And what happened was we get there, and we get really nothing because the crime scene comes and is really, the place has obviously been wiped down. So the guy I was with was one of the best detectives I ever met. His name was Lou Andretta. He was, picture Joe at like 50 years old.
Oh, just an angry son of a bitch?
Yeah. He'd been through a bad divorce, man of the world, just, yeah. And thin, bald, he's just like, he's an angry guy. But a really good detective. And the guy, young guys always talk crap about him because he seemed like he was just, you know, they thought he was a dude, grumpy, didn't talk much. The guy was a Medal of Honor winner. And that not many people alive get that, except on TV. Like, everybody's got one. But he ended up walking into a bar off duty. It was held up by three guys with rifles. He killed everybody. He got shot himself. He got shot in the leg with a rifle. But he ended up killing these guys with a 5-shot revolver.
Jesus.
Yeah. Bad guy. But anyway, he was sharp. And after we asked crime scene to come back, and they end up, you know how in hotels very often they have a small space for the toilet and there's walls on each side? Makes them dust the whole thing this time instead of, you know, the usual stuff. we get Prince. What happened was, the guy who killed, was the murderer, was not really a murderer. This was an accident. Kills the guy by accident. Now he's in a dread panic. Tells his girlfriend what he had done. They come back. They're from New Jersey. They come back to Manhattan. And they wipe down the room. He pukes because he's so upset. And, puts his hands out to brace himself on the side walls as he throws up. That's how we got him.
So what was he? So if he was he just planning to rob the guy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he accidentally killed him?
Yep. Happens. And
the dead guy farted?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I just want to be clear with all the details.
Yes.
The important details to me.
Yeah.
What a weird... you and I were just talking about how just the human race is just awful. Like you did your shovel with the woman that killed the puppy thinking she killed a...
husky.
Yeah, killed a husky when thinking she killed a wolf, which is just stupid, posting pictures of it. Now we get to a story like this where, whatever, the guy's out on the prowl. His family, it's got to be, hey, we've got bad news. Your husband's gone. We've got some other news that you may not have been privy to. He's also very gay.
Yeah.
That has to be just a soul-crushing event to find out all those details at once.
You know what's really fun? I used to get to do that, break that news. It was awful.
I don't get paid enough for that.
Awful.
It's got to be the worst thing, just delivering people bad news. But, all right, so this guy's out on the prowl. He thinks he finds somebody, and this guy just wants to
rob him. I don't even know if he's out on a prowl. I think the way his story was, he confessed, is that the guy was hitting on him hard. You know, just like he was a tall, young, attractive guy. Kind of a marble-looking guy, kind of rugged, like a suede jacket, cowboy boot kind of guy.
Like me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or your man crush, like Tom Rogers.
Oh.
Yeah.
How could you kill that guy? He's huge.
He would be the killer.
Oh, he would. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. He ends up, soliciting him to come back with him, I guess, for money. And then he ends up, I'm not doing that. I'm taking your money anyway. And
I
then
need
they
you
get to
put
fight.
On this Jim McMahon jersey. For what? What the hell's going on?
Now that's inside.
I hope she's listening.
I hope so, too. Hi, Gene.
So what's the outcome with the... So that both of the boyfriend and girlfriend have to be charged in this, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We had to deal with the girlfriend because she was just, assisting him. But we kind of use that to get a confession out of him and all this stuff. But
did she get a slap on the wrist, basically?
Essentially, yeah.
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 Man. That's just, by the way, and I get it now. If I was in the room with a dead body and it farted, it would scare the hell out of me.
Think about it.
I would clutch my pearls going, was that me? Did I do that out loud? Anyway. All right. We're going to talk to Ken McCusick, break down what happened in the Ravens game with him from filmstudybaltimore.com. That's coming up at 8 o'clock. But up next, some interesting NBA stuff. Kyrie and KD finally speak out about their off seasons during media day. Have they become two of the more unlikable guys in the NBA? I mean, there's a ton of unlikable guys. Lots of stuff going on in basketball. Ed and I will discuss this coming up next here on The Fan.
I know I'm that good that you're just not going to give me away. So that's one thing I did appreciate about Sean and Joe is like, you're too great for us to give you away. Just that easy, that simple. So I get that. I know who I am.
That's Kevin Durant. Interesting take there is, one of the questions we were asking, we'll take your phone calls, 410-583-1057. Has he become one of the biggest villains in the NBA? I want to talk about him in a second, but let's get to his teammate here, Kyrie Irving, who talks about how much money he potentially lost because of staying unvaxxed.
I gave up 4 years, 100-something million, deciding to be unvaccinated, and that was the decision, because contract get vaccinated or be unvaccinated, and there's a level of uncertainty of your future, whether you're going to be in this league, whether you're going to be on this team. So I had to deal with that real life circumstance of losing my job for this decision. So I was dealing with all of those emotions while trying to secure my future for my family.
I don't buy that. Look, I'm not making this cat a martyr because he decided, and he's telling you he lost $100 million. He didn't. He still made $18 million last year doing what he did, and then some. So I'm not listening to it. You weren't, who was it, Dennis Schroeder for the Lakers when he was offered that big deal, opted out, and then went and signed a $6 million deal because he was an idiot and didn't sign the max deal or the long term. And again, it's your own right to choose. I'm not going to sit here and pat this guy on the back because he didn't get vaxxed. Ultimately, that team fell apart because of him. I do think the situation in New York was stupid, comparatively speaking, everywhere else. Can't say anything about Toronto. It's a totally different country, you know, when you're going up to Canada and what their decisions were. Mm-hmm. But the New York thing didn't make any sense whatsoever to me.
Me either.
And that they eventually lifted it. But I'm not going to sit here. Like, there were a lot of guys that did things. Like, for example, when the Blue Jays traded for Whit Merrifield, he went and got vaxxed. Yeah, I'll accept the trade. I got. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you have to. But I'm not going to sit here and tip my cap to you like you're some hero for not doing it. Your team season fell apart, and they almost traded everyone away. But, okay, to each their own. That's besides the point. Like, Kyrie's done a lot of dumb things over the years. The flat earth stuff. He was out there burning sage before a game, whatever. I'm not saying that's dumb that he wants to do it, ward away evil or
whatever.
Somebody
burns sage in my house all the time.
Yeah, so, but.
So, is that.
But the point being is, I feel like to a degree he gets off on kind of being the oddball, like people looking at him differently. Everywhere he's gone in Cleveland, you know, LeBron leaves and everybody blames LeBron. LeBron comes back, they win a championship. He goes to the Celtics, speaking of Kyrie. It's like, oh my God, this is a perfect fit. Look at these young superstars. Can't get along with any of those guys. He's gone. Goes to the Nets. You know what he wanted to be? Gone. They were talking about trading him to the Lakers. It's problem after problem. James Harden left there. He's like, I don't want to be a part of this. And he did that passive-aggressive BS where he's telling him behind the scenes he wanted to be traded, saying in public that he wanted to stay. But KD, like, I asked this to a lot of my NBA guys, my guys that, you know, playing daily fantasy and follow the league consistently. Has he hurt his legacy? And ultimately, the answer is probably going to be no when all's said and done. And we look at this 50 years from now, we're probably going to talk about how great Kevin Durant is. But he did join a team that knocked him out of the postseason, that had just broken the record for how many games won in a season. He was the MVP in the finals on that team. And he was really, really good and helped them win a championship. But now we're looking at this guy. I love what the Nets did. He said, I want to be traded. They said, we'll look into it, but we're not taking a lot. You know, we're going to ask for the world if we're going to trade you. You never get fair value back for a superstar like that.
No.
He's 30-some years old, so you're not, you know, moving him wasn't the worst thing. Like, they asked the Raptors essentially for, you know, 3/5 of their starting five to get him. It's going, you go, what the hell is that? Who's going to give that up? They asked the Minnesota Timberwolves to trade him their two best players to get Kevin Durant. That's not happening either. So, and then he's like, well, I want the coach and the GM fired. And they said, well, we'll look at that. And the answer is no. So you can keep doing what you're doing. Well, no. Just show up and play. Thank God somebody had the balls to finally stand up to it. Because in the NBA, they're talking about how the players have all the power. And it's fine. Like, I think you should be able to leverage certain situations. It was almost like KD wanted to leverage everything. He wanted to sign a contract and then immediately be traded. He wanted to do this. Oh, I'm going to go to this team. And, oh, I'm not happy here now because I'm not the focal point and people are saying this. I've never met somebody that wanted to be liked so bad and pretended to not give a rat's ass whether you like him or not that he's created multiple burner accounts to go at people.
I was just going to say, can we mention the burner accounts?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's such a sign of incredible, incredible insecurity. But so when he says someone wants to be liked, and then he seems like such a douche, though.
Like, I've talked about this. Like, my whole big thing with me personally is that I want everyone to like me. I do. I've tried to get better in life at not worrying about what people thought about you. I hope this makes sense. And, you know, instead of just like ignoring certain things, most of the time I want to chirp back. Like, okay, let's start this. And then I get midway into the conversation going, I'm getting nowhere. All I did was make myself angrier by even responding to something and going on about it. But KD, make no mistake about it, he wants you to love him.
Yeah.
And the fact that you don't love him, it hurts him. That's why he has those burner accounts and he goes, oh, I don't care what people think. Of course you do. Charles Barkley makes a comment. You get on a podcast ready to chirp back at him. And that's kind of like the new Draymond Green's doing it now, where he chirps. And I love Draymond. And he'll get on his podcast and talk. Oh, this is that. But, you know, at the same extent, Kevin is very, very fragile. And I think you have to look at the three superstars they have. And yes, I do include Ben Simmons as a superstar, even though his weakness is he can't score. He can't shoot free throws. He can't shoot.
Isn't that a problem in basketball?
It is, but he's so good at all the other. He's a great defender. So I do think Ben Simmons is a superstar. But they might have three of the most fragile egos on one team that I've ever seen in my entire life. Ever. It's their three best players, and they're all like, oh, woe is me all the time.
Yeah. I wonder if it's just basketball, too, though.
I mean, there's a lot
of... They seem kind of diva-ish in that sport.
There's a ton of that, and that goes along with everything. I mean, this is more so than any of the other sports. If we talk about the majors, it's very finesse.
Yeah.
Like, I think soccer's finesse, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not telling you can't be physical. Like, you can be a physical NBA player. You can be a physical soccer player. But there's a lot of finesse to it.
Yeah.
Cardio, athleticism, how good are you? Like, it's ball handling with your hands in basketball and with your feet, dribbling, whatever you want to call it. I don't want people laughing just because I'm saying ball handling, because you get a definite look on your face once I said it. But
I know what you're thinking.
Yeah. But, no, the point is, like, yeah, there's a lot of finesse to it. There's beauty to the game. And I do think there's some similarities between soccer and basketball. As far as the passing, setting things up, a little bit more scoring in basketball, but you know, like, ironically, you get a guy like KD, and yes, I do think they're going to be vilified. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons already has it, and it almost seems like he's going to be this way his whole career, where people are just not going to like him.
Did you see the interview with Ben Simmons?
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of like, he basically made believe none of this was happening, you know. Oh, you know, essentially, there's nothing going on. I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, you got so much drama with those guys.
So the problem we have in life now is with mental illness, there are going to be... It's the same reason that the NFL kind of said when it was talking about taking care of older players, that they want to make sure everybody's going through what they're going through. And I do, and that somebody's not kind of skirting the issue to try to get money out of them. I think, and I'm not saying this with Ben Simmons, but it was brought up, that when it comes to mental illness, you're going to have guys that are going to use that as an out now. Because Ben Simmons, I mean, he's at the games. He's practicing. He's warming up. You know, you're watching him shoot. He's supposedly in basketball shape, but yet he couldn't play in the postseason.
Right.
Was it his back? Well, they didn't say it was his back. They're saying, so I don't know. I think there are a lot of times where things are going to get thrown around that might be a little unfair. my buddy just texted me and said, every NBA player was once... a wide receiver. Yeah, all wide receivers are divas too. So,
yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I'm always... Well, they are. You think about the position. You can do everything you're supposed to do and get wide open, and you still may not be throwing the ball. So it doesn't matter. but that was a good one. And then, Durant with his... with all the complaining that's gone on, I'm just glad that finally somebody stood up to him, because when I was arguing with some of my friends in the NBA circle saying... Why do you think that, he's got so much leverage? It's like, oh, he's got all these years left on his deal. Well, what does that matter if you're going to essentially opt out within the deal and tell the team to trade you? Trade me or I'm not playing. They looked at him and said, yeah, you will. You know what he's doing? He's playing. Yeah. This isn't a Le'Veon Bell situation where he went off and made a rap album and went jet skiing in the Florida Keys. You know, no, it's not this. He needs to play. He wants to play. He needs to get another championship, whether he likes it or not. And he needs to do it on a team that he didn't necessarily join that was already established, one that was built. And I think that's how a lot of NBA fans feel, whether that's fair or unfair.
So, Clay didn't go to the Knicks. That's all I care about.
Oh, I mean,
as bad as they are, they would have just made it worse.
You guys got Donovan Mitchell. Oh, he's on the Cavaliers? Oh, I thought.
See, that was not nice.
See, it was. But you know, that's how you feel. At least you're saying that in your mind. All right. Hour number three coming up. We're going to talk to Jim Hunter at 8:30. A little bit about the Pro Bowl being replaced next hour as well. But up next, it's Ken McCusick to break down what we saw on Sunday between the Ravens and the Patriots right here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.